Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
By the way,
the Nerd Hour.
Tattoos and touchdowns.
The Sunny Show.
Masters of None.
360 on 420.
Welcome to the Cut Print Film Podcast.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by volume.
My time now.
It's time for Dutch and Royce. No! Get ready for Hippo Juice.
The Elvis and Albert Show.
The Cousin Joe Show.
It's High Society Radio.
Give it up for the DP.
You're listening to Atomicast.
It's all about me.
Shy kids.
Orange room.
More Like Radio!
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zunes, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Obviously, I was... Oh, never mind. I'm not going to explain it, but...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Would you mind taking Colin for a walk about 8?
Huh? That's 2,000 hours. Oh, yeah.
Now, here's your host. That's Ashley, and this is...
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
And good evening, everybody. Welcome to a brand new episode of Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. As I said last week, as the times change, I will be going, I think, this week. And I believe also, yeah, next week, basically, UK time will be 8 o'clock, but it will still be 4 o'clock on the East Coast. So basically, tune in then, whereas the week after, it will be back to 9 o'clock. And, you know, usual bullshit. Welcome to the show, ladies and gents. Got all the time stuff sorted out. Interesting week, sort of. I got to play some new stuff. I just haven't been playing Final Fantasy, even though that is all I really want to do with my life, is just sit here and craft iron ingots for the rest of my fucking life. That's good for me. But no, I have been playing some new stuff. But as usual, I will get into the pleasure trees and how you can contact the show if you do want to. That is, you know, your choice. So if you want to Skype in this anytime during the show, the Skype name is Antisocial Gamer Radio. You can email the show at antisocialgamerradio@yahoo.co.uk. You can join the Facebook group. It's facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. And also you can like us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/antisocialgamerradio. As well as Twitter as well. We have a Twitter account. It's at MLRGamerRadio. But don't forget as well, go to morelikeradio.com. You'll find all the contact details for all the shows on there, and follow at Moloch Radio on Twitter as well. That would be helpful. I have been playing some new bits and pieces. Because literally I'm flying away in a couple of weeks off to Florida for the third annual Moloch Radio live event. We're teaming up with the Lovely ladies of the burlesque troupe Moxie La Femme. Very great people. I can't wait to meet all the awesome people. That will be happening on April 25th in downtown Lakeland in Florida. So basically, I'm giving you all an ultimatum. If I can fly across the world, as I give you an ultimatum every year, we do a live event. You motherfuckers better get your ass there because it's going to be a great night. Lots of fun that we had. Starts around 8:30, 9 o'clock. Goes on till midnight. Tons of fun to be happening. It's literally, I can't explain how happy I am and how looking forward I am going. And I get away from England for about a week. So it's fun for me. Yes, but today, as I am travelling, I thought, chuck a couple of games onto my 3DS. And I bought OutRun, the original one from 1983, I think that's what it said on the old startup screen. And I bought Afterburner 2. OutRun I'm not so good at, even though I loved the remake we did get a couple of years back. I had on my Xbox 360 because that was a really fun game. But yeah, I literally can't get past the first fucking stage. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing wrong, because it's like, it's OutRun. You drive and you try and beat the time, and I don't know. I'm just sort of, I'm enjoying it. It's fun. I'm not paying too much attention. I'm surprised. For a game that's, 30 years old, I'm sort of just paying attention to the scenery, what's going, because the music's still there. It's all the original music, because it's the original game. But I'm having tons and tons of fun with this thing. It's really great to play. But yeah, I say it is really fun, and literally, I need to get into it and play more and not work out the controls as such, but just sort of do better. But plenty of playing and hours of fun to be had, soon with it, when I literally stuck on a plane for 9 fucking hours. I don't mind. It's something to do. But yeah, I also picked up Afterburner 2, which I'm much better at. I can get like stage 3 or 4, but it's one of those things. It's one of those continuous sit down sort of games to play. But yeah, Afterburner 2, awesome fun. And trust me, it's like the first Afterburner game that I've actually played and had since I'm going back 20 years. The old, I think the Tiger handheld, I don't know if people remember this, it was like a bunch of, I think it was the Tiger branded handheld little games consoles, and there was like Afterburner, which I had, which is probably the best thing that my uncle ever gave to me, apart from that magic sausage. My friend of mine at school had the Lion King one, and there was some fighting ones, and trust, from what the ones I saw, like I think it was Paperboy as well, I think Afterburner was the best one you can get, and I got the best one. But no, so yeah, I had that as my little Tiger handheld thing. That was fun. But now I actually have a proper version of Afterburner to play. And yeah, I miss playing some decent flying games. I mean, Ace Combat's been dropping the ball for the past couple of games. And, Afterburner 2, it's a classic. It's 30 years old, roughly. I'm thinking about chucking a whole load more games on there, because I think there's like a sale on at the moment, and half the games are like half price, and they're really cheap anyway. Afterburner and OutRun, it was like £4 each. It was like nothing. But I'm thinking of buying some more stuff. Like there's like a Shinobi game on there, and there's the original Shinobi, which I had on my Game Gear, and there's some Sonic stuff. There's a whole bunch of stuff. Literally, I could fill my 3DS with all the classic handheld games that I played when I was a kid. They got Defenders of Oasis on there, which I love, which I don't know if I've played so many RPG games, I don't think I'll probably pick up Defenders of Oasis, but Defenders of Oasis holds a special place in my heart, because it was such an awesome game back on the Game Gear, back in the early 90s. But yeah, I mean, if we get some Star Wars stuff on here, that'd be great. The original Star Wars game from the Game Gear. I know we get the Wii U, we get all these eShop stuff from the what the hell is it, from the Wii U stuff and the Super Nintendo, and half the stuff gets split between what we get on the 3DS and what we get on the Wii U anyway, which is a bastard, because it's like, well, why can't we have one on the other? And I don't know, it's one of those things. But no, I say Afterburner 2 and OutRun I am having tons of fun with. I do really think I need to put more stuff on. The live event's a month away from now, and I've got a month after I come back, I have my Pokemon National Tournament, which I haven't even... a bunch of my friends who are sort of really excited about going, they're making up new teams and stuff like this, and I'm like, well, I'm not paying any attention to what's going on. It's literally, I've got my team, they're ready. I think I need to chuck an item onto one of my Pokemon. And unless the rules change of what I'm using, I'm just going to go in and play with what I've got. I'm not that fussed. I've spent a lot of money to stay at the hotel, and I'm going to spend a lot of money for the train up there, and I'm probably going to spend a lot of money on food and shit and stuff when I'm up there. I'm not really that fussed, to be honest. I mean, I'm Pokemon out. I'm literally sort of done with it, to be honest. I still enjoy Pokemon. I watch a couple of episodes every now and again. I think Netflix added one of the movies on, so I'll watch that. But I'm really not bothered about Pokemon anymore. I've sort of gone past it. I mean, it's, well, you know, being a 30-year-old person who seems a Pokemon is a bit strange for some people. But yeah, I mean, I just sort of gone past my worriedness, basically. I mean, I'm going to keep looking at various things and making sure everything's set up for when I do have to go closer to the time, like I'm registered and all this sort of stuff. But I'm just not that fussed. I mean, literally, I'll go, I'll play, I'll hang out with my friends, and then I come back home and that's it. And let's sort of put Pokemon away, or fucking, you know, if I can find someone to buy my cartridge off me while I'm up there for some decent money, because of just fucking thousands of hours I spent playing this fucking game. Well, at least £200 at least. Especially with the Pokemons I've got and hidden abilities and rare legendaries and shinies. Yeah, it's definitely worth at least £200. But yeah, I say that's my Pokemon stuff. It's sort of, you know, sitting there. I have, you know, it has gone over my head and started to think about bits and pieces to do with it, but it's still 2 months away, so there's not much of a rush. It's whatever I could do in Pokemon, I can do in a week anyway, and I barely touched the game. I mean, I don't even have the Pokebank anymore. I sort of cancelled my subscription to that because there's no real need for it, to be honest. But yeah, that's that. But I say several weeks, and probably the future I have been and will ever be playing Final Fantasy 14, which, tons and tons and tons of fun. Very frustrating. The last frustrating game that I played was Far Cry 4. And that was because I kept getting killed or shot or, you know, fucked over by the game. I'm getting angry from crafting. It's fucking stupid. I know it really is. But yeah, I'm crafting, like, because, I mean, my character's level, I'm doing all this big to-do list that I've got. For you know, I want to get this to that level, that to that, do this with the chocobo, that, you know, that sort of stuff. I mean, my character level, I'm up like 38.5. I've done some dungeons. I'm sort of bored with the dungeon stuff, the grinding. It's like, I mean, I'll be glad when I get to level 50, because then I don't have to worry. I just got to do bits to get my ultimate weapon and, you know, my relic weapon, and then just upgrade it like several times, which takes a lot of time and investment. But at the moment, my main thing is that I'm trying to do is basically just level up my crafting. That's it, my crafting and my gathering. I mean, the gathering's a piece of piss, because it's literally I go here and I mean my botany, my level rank level 30, I'm harvesting, I found like chocobo feathers. And there's some other zone that gives me stuff that I think that I could use for glamour and bits and pieces. I don't know what that stuff's for at the moment. I think it's sort of pigments and dyes. So if I could start making my own dyes, that'd be great. It saves me money on having to, you know, buy the shit. Or maybe something I can sell stuff. Because I'm selling stuff on the auction house, which is going well, not as fast as I'd like, to be honest. I mean, I've got stuff sitting there that's, I mean, I put a whole load of shit up this morning and I sold like 5 things out of 40, which isn't good. And I've lowered the price on a couple of things and taken the stuff off, but it's just sort of, it's weird. It's trying to get the price. I mean, it's weird. I mean, there was a thing I was listening to, one of my episodes of Limit Break Radio, and if you're playing Final Fantasy 14, give them a listen, tell them I sent you, they'll be all right. But yeah, I listened to them, and they talk about, one of the guys was like, how he's made like millions of gil, and he was like making furniture and stuff, and it was like something really simple. It was like two animal glue, which is, you can buy off the shops for like, I don't know, 4 gil, and something stupid like some logs or something, which you can buy for the same price. And he was making thousands of gil profit. I mean, I literally, it cost me what, say 20 gil to make. I'm selling it on my thing for like 10,000. And that's what the prices of these chairs are going for. And the thing with the chairs, with the furniture, people are paying for this shit, right? This makes me funny how gullible they are when it comes to this. They're paying money for this shit when it costs tuppence to make, and there's no real value in it, because you can't hate high quality furniture because it's not a consumable item like food or armor and stuff, where it gives you bonus stats, because it's just a piece of property. It's not, there's no need for it to be high quality, which, you know, it makes sense, but it's just basically I needed to make some other furniture bits and pieces with all my normal quality items. I mean, that's pretty much what I've been doing as well. I've been trying to scale back all of the items that I've got. I mean, I had a whole bunch of logs, and I had like, was it like 200, 300 bits of animal skin, which I can craft into leather. And I've just been doing the quick synthesis, which is basically, I don't control it. The computer takes over, and it just sort of grinds away and starts crafting all this stuff. So basically, I can sort of craft out 99 animal skins into leather while I go and do the dishes, or I'm cleaning the house. And it doesn't take long, it takes a few minutes, so I can sort of do something, stop, and then once it's finished, I can, you know, and that's what I'm basically doing. It gives me half the experience points that I'd normally get if I did it myself, but to be honest, I don't really want to sit here and, I mean, because my crafting levels, most of them are sort of range between 25 and 30 at the moment, and I'm just trying to get it higher and higher, because, I mean, my character's levels at 38.5, and the gear that I want to wear on my, you know, I'm trying to make accessories. I'm messing around with silver at the moment for help with my crafting and my gathering, so that way there's more points to more gathering points, so I can better chance of finding high quality stuff, which is a bonus. And when I'm crafting, I've got more points, so basically I can, if I fuck up, I can just sort of go back and start again. I mean, because it's the whole durability thing. It's really nice to talk about this on the show, because I'm boring the shit out of my friends at work with this sort of stuff, and I'm probably boring the shit out of the listeners, but if I am boring the shit out, you just email me and complain and I'll stop. But until anyone tells me, I won't stop. I'm having more fun when it comes to simple stuff like the ingots, like you get your copper ore or your iron ore or something like that, and you can turn it into ingots. You only get like 3 turns each before it breaks if you fuck it up, and then, but stuff that's like, you get 7 turns, 8 turns trying to craft the tank is perfect. It's even better for the way my stats are with how the gear is, and trying to put points and stuff and making better and better high quality gear, which is basically what my whole purpose is. I mean, I literally yesterday, I'm just getting frustrated and losing rag and trying to smash my controller. Several times I've been tempted to not throw the fucking thing at my TV, which I've done before and don't want to do again because it's very costly, and crush it against the wall, trap my controller against the wall, because it's like all this rare stuff. I mean, I'm spending shit tons of money. I mean, I was a couple of weeks ago, I was at 300,000 gil. Then I dropped down to 200,000 because I was just buying items and stuff. Which was most of the stuff of what I'm actually making. It'd be even cheaper for me to just buy the stuff outright from the vendor rather than just make it myself, because it's cheaper. I mean, I spent 12,000 gil yesterday on silver, on high quality silver ingots, and most of them I fucked up, because this is what frustrates me when I'm doing this. I'm trying to create high quality stuff. And whenever I go to press the button that basically increases the chance of me getting a high quality item, I'll get it to like, because it's percentage based. So basically, I'll press it and it'll give me 5, and then it'll give me 20 or whatever. And I'll get it all the way up to, so like the other day it was 84%. I thought, yep, this is good enough. I haven't got enough points to do the high quality stuff to get any more, points into. But 84% out of 100, that's got to be pretty close to get the high quality. So I go to make it, and it just basically makes a normal one. I'm like, nah, this is fucking bullshit. And that's happened several times, which has frustrated me. And I've basically just sort of, chucked it up on the auction house, hopefully sell it for a decent chunk of change. Even when I'm selling it, I'm still selling it for a good amount of money. I mean, that's what I'm trying to do. It's weird, because I've got to make a balance of, a balancing point between what I'm making to get my stats up, because you make stuff, and you get experience points from it, and I've got to be able to do something with it. It's not It's not like when I can craft like recipes, like actually under my culinarian, as my chefing skill, because I can, you know, I can make whatever. I mean, I literally the other day I was trying, because literally, I mean, most of them at 28, I think, is what I've got. There's like, I think my alchemist and my culinarian at 24, 25, and they're the hardest ones to get, because I mean, my weaver and my leather worker, they're pretty high as well, like 27, 28. But the culinarian stuff, it's a bastard, because you've got to, you know, you've got to use your botanist to go and find all these items, which I need to sort of work on, to be honest. It's a bit tricky trying to, you know, have to find all this stuff, and then it's just a time waster, basically. But trying to get my culinarian and my alchemist. I mean, alchemist is a pain, because literally there's no decent recipes for this stuff, and half of the items that I actually want are really hard to find, and it's just a pain. It really is. But to combat that, I have been doing leave quests, which are basically little missions you get. You get like 6 a day, because it's like 3 every 6 hours. So I get 6 a day, and then it's, you know, go to here and turn in so many of these or so many of that. So basically what I've been doing is buying the high quality stuff, because you hand that in and you get double the points. So basically I'm getting twice as much experience points from handing in what I'm handing in, and getting, I think I'm getting like some gil from it, which I'm not too fussed. I mean, there's guild leaves ones, which are basically, I don't get the gil, but I do get guild leaf seals, which, to be honest, I'm sort of at a stuck point with that, which is a pain as well. Because there's three tiers that I have opened at the moment for your grand company. And I'm about to hit the third one, which is as far as we can go to the moment until we get the expansion, which is going to give us more access. But it says I have to be at level 44 to do this mission for this guy, and I'm like 6 levels away. I don't know. It's a pain. It's just me just grinding out stuff at the moment. I don't know. That's the thing as well. The expansion. I'm not sure when I'm going to buy it or. Hang on, sorry for one sec. Just talking about you in the chat. It's coming out soon, so in a couple of months. I'm not sure if I'm going to buy it straight away. I mean, I've seen bits about the collector's edition. I think I've got a news article on it, which I'll talk about soon. But my main problem at the moment is basically just trying to get to level 50 with my character, trying to get my jobs as high as possible, and just my jobs are more of a focus for me at the moment. I mean, I've still got stuff to do in-game. I've still got to play Triple Triad, and I've still got the Chocobo Racing. And even when I do get to level 50, I've still got the story to do, which I haven't touched. I mean, I've still got tons of missions and bits and pieces. But it's just, I don't know. It's one big pain and annoyance, and time suck. And it's just, I mean, I don't mind. I mean, I don't really do much too much at the moment anyway. I mean, I'm up early in the morning and just literally playing and just checking my auction house, make sure I've sold some bits and pieces, then just refilling it with crap that I can't sell. I mean, that's what I'm trying to do at the moment, sort of make stuff that, I mean, I'm looking into making furniture and bits and pieces like that, which I can sort of donate to my grand free company. Hopefully that does something and they can sell it or whatever and it adds money, and I don't know. It's one of those things, really. But no, I say, you know, Final Fantasy 14, still playing it like crazy, still having fun. It's really good, and I'm, you know, really enjoying myself when I play it, and it's nice. It's a fun experience to be had. I'm enjoying it. We've got Mortal Kombat out next month, which I'm going to pick up straight away. We've got Battlefield Hardline, which I'm getting negative reviews from on people from hearing about this. They're saying that the story's not very good, but the multiplayer's fun. And I'm like, I can't, you know, maybe I should hold off until I see some actual proper scores and wait for stuff. I mean, I don't really pay attention to scores, but Battlefield Hardline is something I was looking forward to. And if the game's no good, then, you know, there's no real point in playing it or, you know, picking it up. Because, you know, I might as well just carry on playing Final Fantasy 14 and just hold out for Mortal Kombat. I mean, there's other stuff as well. I mean, we've got Batman coming out. I mean, there's been uproar about that, about Batman being an M-rated game. And I was like, well, it's fucking Batman. He beats the shit out of people. That's what he does. But yeah, I mean, some people are fucking, why is it M-rated? You know, it's Batman, for fuck's sake. You know, I don't know. These people are stupid. But yeah, I say there's stuff coming out that I want to play, and there's stuff that I want to pick up, and, you know, there's stuff going on, really. But yeah, that's pretty much all I've been playing. I've talked about that for a good amount of time. Yeah, I'd say it's, you know, time to talk about some new stuff. And I have. I have literally this. This is interesting. I saw this literally. I bookmarked this before I start the show. This is a bit of a talking point. This is from Eurogamer. Nintendo to release games on phones and tablets. There's an update to this, which I'll get to the old original story stuff first. It says, Nintendo has announced that it will begin releasing games for mobile phones and tablet devices. The move to mobile, long requested by the company's investors, will begin later this year when their first new game apps are released. Nintendo is partnering with massive Japanese mobile firm DNA, it's D-E, capital N-A, to aid in the company's app development. Speaking in a press conference this morning, Nintendo boss Satoru Iwata confirmed Nintendo would take charge of the actual game development. The front end gameplay and UI that players can actually see. DNA, meanwhile, will be working on supporting Nintendo by providing back end services and server knowledge. back end services. Nintendo and DNA will also work together on a new membership service. This is a replacement for the Club Nintendo that the company teased earlier this year. The service will work across all platforms: PC, mobile, tablet, 3DS, Wii U, and the upcoming NX, a new dedicated game system that Nintendo has also announced. I'm looking forward to what this. I'm just reading ahead. More information on the Nintendo NX will be revealed next year. Iwata says, I'm guessing this is the new handheld. Maybe. I mean, trust. I don't know. See. Is this going to be something separate? I don't know. I mean, with the 3DS, we've just got the new 3DS, the new model. With the Wii U, we've just got all these games that people have been asking for. I mean, you heard about me talk about this a couple of weeks ago. It's like, well, there's, you know, fucking Zelda, Star Fox, all these stuff, you know. I don't know. Maybe. What the fuck can this be? Is this going to be a new portable stuff? I mean, is it time to? Maybe I'm thinking now that maybe it is just a replacement for the 3DS. Maybe, you know, because I have a 3DS. I have two. I have 3DS and a 2DS, but I don't use the 3D on either. So maybe the NX is the next generation. You know. I don't know. It's probably the code name for it. I don't know. But it says more information on the NX will be released next year, so 2016. The new membership service will include multiple devices and create a connection between Nintendo and each individual consumer, regardless of the device the consumer uses. This membership will form one of the core elements of the new Nintendo platform, the NX. Nintendo has said for a while that it wants to use mobile platforms to raise awareness of its own franchise. Maybe the NX is a mobile platform. I don't know. Iwata confirmed Nintendo is not considering ports of existing games, but rather new experiences developed for and more suited to mobile devices. So basically, Super Mario Mobile, pretty much. Paper Mario Mobile, probably something, you know. Sonic, well, we'll wait and see. To be honest. Since we are challenging ourselves to redefine what Nintendo platform means, Iwata concluded, we aim to achieve this goal as soon as possible. We hope to have output ready to show later this year. So Tokyo Game Show, I'm guessing. Under the new agreement, Nintendo will acquire 10% of DNA, while DNA will buy 1.24% of Nintendo. But Let's go back at this top the update. It says after today's announcement that Nintendo will begin smartphone tablet game development, Eurogamer's Chris Bratt has rounded up a resident Nintendo. It's just a bit about a video, but yeah. Now this whole thing, it worries me when I saw this, because I mean I'm looking at stuff that's going on with this, and I'm thinking. I know Nintendo has their problems. The fact that, you know, the 3DS is fucking selling like hotcakes. The console stuff in Japan isn't doing as well as it should. I mean, we talked about this, you know, a couple of weeks ago. But is this the future of Nintendo now? I mean, are they preemptively going out of business sort of mentality with? I mean. It's worrying, because I mean I don't want Nintendo to go down the route what Sega did, where the fact that they were making console after console that basically no one cared about. I mean, she was the only Sega console people that actually liked was the Genesis, the Mega Drive. You know, that was pretty much it. I mean, I loved the Dreamcast. It was funny, had Crazy Taxi and Shenmue and that, but it didn't do anything spectacular. The Saturn was, I mean, can many people remember any games they played on a Saturn? I mean, I heard, was it Burning Rangers? I heard that was pretty good. But most, apart from Daytona USA, that's all I know of Saturn games. Whereas, you know, the Mega Drive, Genesis, all the Sonic games, you had the Transformers, the Terminator movie game, which I played, which was great. But yeah, I say maybe Nintendo is preemptively trying to find a way to flesh out some of their other properties, and maybe this is a way just for them to make a bit of extra bonus money. Because, I mean, the whole big thing with Japan, I mean, there's nothing to talk about here about, you know, American whatever or Western development or whatever. But maybe it is just Nintendo's way of realizing, okay, everything's going mobile these days. We have the 3DS. Maybe we need something more. Maybe we need, you know, if everything's going, see, this is what's confusing me, because everything's going mobile. You have, you know, 3DS, Monster Hunter's 4, it's fucking going nuts and gangbusters and all that sort of bullshit. But why, basically, I mean, it's in Japan. 3DS is basically what everyone's playing now. They're playing Pokemon, they're playing Monster Hunter, they're playing whatever other fucking shit game they have over there that's enjoying them like crazy or whatever. But maybe just the whole mobile thing is, are we going to get now? I mean, and they, as I said here, there was confirmed that Nintendo is not considering ports of existing games, but rather new experiences developed for and more suited to smart devices. So, I mean, I'm just thinking now, Metroid. Are we going to get a classic side-scrolling Metroid game on your Samsung phone, on your iPhone? Are we going to get something like that? Or are we going to get, you know, classic sort of style Mario? I mean, are we going to get like, you know, what we have now with the Super Smash Smash Brothers? Yeah, maybe Smash Brothers, like a new Smash Brothers. It will come, you know, say the NX is the next handheld device. It'll be out on the NX and the Samsung and the, you know, and the HTC and all this sort of stuff. I guess it's just a way of Nintendo putting their name about more and putting games on things that people use. I mean, I've never really felt a need to have. I mean. It goes back to sort of the all-in-one device where you have your phone, you can check your emails, there's time on it. It's literally the Swiss Army knife of technology these days is your phone, because basically you can do everything on it. You can pay for stuff and contactless and all this sort of stuff. Maybe, you know, Nintendo is realizing this and like, well, we have your Mario on your 3DS, but wouldn't you like Mario on this? And I mean, trust, when they do make this sort of stuff, the sales will basically say yes, but I've never felt the need to actually play Mario on my phone, to be honest. My phone is I've got a Samsung Galaxy S3 Mini or Lite or whatever the fucking things, but yeah, I don't play games on it because I don't really think there's anything worth playing, even though I have my iPod Touch, which has games on it, and I don't even play on that.
But yeah, so if I wanted to play Mario games, I'd buy a 3DS. And I have a 3DS, so basically that's me coven. But other people, they could make, you know, Nintendo could make small, snappy games that basically just sort of throw, pick up and play. I mean, that's maybe it's the whole Nintendo Game & Watch generation for the new age, I'm guessing. But it's, I don't know. I mean, just, I like to see what's going on, but we'll wait and see. I mean, it's fun to think about what's going to go on with Nintendo, what their whole game plan is, what they want to do for the future, you know, basically that. Oh, let's keep this Nintendo. I just clicked on the same article twice, which isn't very good. Yeah, here we go. Keiji Inafune's 3DS game has been cancelled. Marvelous losses at $3.8 million on KO King of Pirates. KO King of Pirates, a 3DS game by Mega Man creator Keiji Inafune, has been cancelled by publisher Marvelous. The publisher revealed in a press conference that it lost, wow, holy shit, 461 million yen, roughly about just under $4 million on the game. Wow, you spent that much on a 3DS game? You really have some big high praises for this guy. KO aims to take, aims to tell the Romance of the Three Kingdoms saga using anthropomorphic, there we are, animals. It was planned as a trilogy and was originally going to be a multimedia IP, but for whatever reason, that didn't pan out. Yes, don't plan anything to be more than one game because that doesn't well. Just ask Dennis Dyack. So I guess Penguin Pirates aren't vogue at the moment. No, I think no one's given a shit about Penguin since fucking Happy Feet. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of bad. I mean, the guy's a big name. You know, he created Mega Man. I can't stand Mega Man. It's too hard for me. But yeah, I mean, that's a shame, though. They spent $3.8 million on this game, and that's the thing. Never plan to make more than one game. Just make one. You sort of cap off the story, but you leave it a little bit of some teasers that, you know, people want, okay, what happened at the end of this? What happened at the end of this? You know, and then you make fucking more of them. You're grabbing people in. You tease them. And, you know, you leave them wanting more. And, I mean, okay, as I say, Mortal Kombat is coming out next month. At the end of Mortal Kombat, you know, Quan Chi turned up and there was a bunch of, was it Sherlock? The big fucking red shoulder pads is. He showed up at the end. It was like, okay, what's going to happen now? What's going to happen now? And then the game ends. It teases you for what's, you know, for future future events. And now we have, we have what's going on, and with Mortal Kombat. But say, just when it comes to this, just make one game, focus your attention on that, leave people wanting more, add some extra plot points. Do what Marvel movies are doing now, where there's like extra scenes right at the end after the credits, so you've got to sit and watch. Or Ubisoft does with Assassin's Creed. I wouldn't know about the recent one because I didn't finish it. But do something like that. Give it some leg room. All right. Let's go for... Where was that other bit? I think it was some Sony stuff. Literally, so much stuff to talk about this week, and I know I never get to it, but I will have... I do have the Batman article and some other bits and pieces that I will talk about, but let's go into some Sony stuff. Here we go, yeah. PlayStation just brought in $3 billion for Sony. £3 billion this is. PlayStation continues to do the business for Japan's electronics giant Sony. Giant is a small word, to be honest. For the third quarter ending 31st of December 2014, Sony's Game and Network Services division, of which PlayStation is part, brought in a whopping 531 billion yen. Or which is just under £3 billion. GNS generated more revenue than any other Sony division during the quarter. Of course, because Sony has nothing. No one gives a shit about their phones. No one has a Sony Walkman because we all have iPods. Basically, Sony PlayStation is what's making Sony money. That's it. There's nothing else apart from PlayStation. TVs, maybe. That's about it, really. But yeah, this made a That made for a significant sales, in brackets here, increase of 16.8% year on year, primarily due to the PlayStation 4 sales boost. Because the PlayStation 4 is awesome. Thank you, Mr. Sony guy. Thank you for my big bang money there. No, I'm just kidding. But no, I love my PlayStation. It's pretty cool. I mean, when I get a Wii U, I will love that too. When I get an Xbox One, I will love that too. I'm a gamer. I play games. I don't give a shit about what console is on. As long as the game's good, I'm fine. And the console doesn't break. I mean, sure, it's the amount of shit. The amount of time I've been playing Final Fantasy 14 and waiting for my PlayStation 4 to break, even though I haven't had it like what a year roughly. Yes, 6.4 million PlayStation 4s were sold during the quarter. I mean, I had an article earlier, well, which I was going to read, but there's no point now because I'm going to talk about it. Anyway, it's like where, was it 20 million PlayStation 4s have been sold, which is pretty sweet. But yeah, 6.4 million PlayStation sold during this quarter. I think it was like over the past year, I think it was 20 million, so... same quarter for the previous year, 4.5 million was sold earlier this year. Sony announced the PlayStation 4 had sold 20.2 million units globally. Yeah, that's what I was talking about. But the favorable impact of foreign exchange rates and a significant increase in network services revenue that all be PlayStation Plus subscriptions also helped. You need PlayStation Plus to play online, so you basically have to buy it anyway. Not everything PlayStation prints money, however, decreased sales of the aging PlayStation 3 and PlayStation games had an impact. As you expect. Of course they do, because everyone has a PlayStation 4. I mean, I didn't talk about this last week, but I don't have my PlayStation 3 or Xbox 360 anymore. I took them to work and basically chucked them in recycling. Because basically they're all broken anyway. But yeah, I say literally the only thing I have at the moment is PlayStation 4 and a 3DS, which barely get to look in because I'm just playing Final Fantasy and hopefully Mortal Kombat until my fingers bleed. But yeah, I say with such high sales, operating income increased to 153 million. There was a 62 million write down of Vita and PS TV components, as both of these products continue to struggle sales-wise. But yeah, I was, why would you want a fucking Vita? Who gives a shit about Vita? I talk about this with Nintendo. If you're going somewhere, anywhere, we're traveling, you want to play games, you're going to have a 3DS. Because, you know, Mario, Donkey Kong, all the other basically stables of a Nintendo franchise games that you want to play on the move is those. Monster Hunter, there we go, Pokemon, you know, that, basically. But Sony benefited from a comparison with the same quarter last year, during which it recorded a 34 million write-off of PC games relating to PlanetSide and EverQuest, maker Sony Online, which recently sold the developer. Sony's forecast, it's 17.5 million PlayStation 4s and PlayStation 3 combined sales for the 2014 financial year, which ends in March of this year, which is basically in about 2 weeks. That's up from its previous forecast of 17 million. It's 3.5 million sales prediction for the portables, PlayStation PSTV, Vita, PSP remains the same. It expects software sales of 420 million up from... Oh, software sales. Okay, that makes sense. For up from previous forecast of 390 million. For Sony as a whole, it was a positive quarter. Sales were up 6.5%, and operating income was up 104%. But it still expects to report a net loss. It's sixth in 7 years for the current financial year. Just yeah, because what Nintendo's doing with theirs, and they're basically spreading out to the mobile market. Sony needs to do the opposite and basically stop making shit that no one buys, pretty much. The pressure has been on the Sony boss Kazuhiro for some time now to return the iconic Japanese company to something approaching its former glory. Yeah, but it hasn't had that sort of glory in 20 years. As I've talked about this before, it's the Saturday Night Live clip with Mike Myers as Dr. Evil. So, you know, as I said, Sony hasn't had anything decent since the Walkman. Exactly. Because those MP... was it? The Discman was that much popular. I think they're still fucking making losses on that. Which new business strategy, which it hopes to Oh, Gargantuan, here we are. I thought it was some sort of race. Gargantuan company swing to profit over the next few years. PlayStation is central to the plan. It's, yeah, it's the main focus, to be honest. But yeah, I say, that's what, I just don't get this. It's like, PlayStation's making Sony the money. You need to shut down and can consolidate what Sony is and get rid of all this shit that no one's buying and just shut down stuff, basically. I mean, there's so many other different technical companies out there. You look at Panasonic, because I'm just sort of looking at my TV now, it's Panasonic. Like, phones, Samsung, they're the ones who make the phones. And, yeah, Samsung make the phones, and hipsters buy the Apple one, so that's from America. Panasonic TVs, Sony TVs, that's decent market in there. And, then, and you know, what the hell does Sony make that's electronic-wise? What are laptops, the Vio? You know, I mean, what's my laptop's Toshiba? Yeah, you know, it's just sort of bits and pieces like that. But I don't know. We'll have to wait and see, because I mean, I'm not too sure what's going on with this. And Sony's making, you know, PlayStation's making the Sony the money. They have to make anything elsewhere. I mean, loss after, you got to say 6 out of 7 years. You know, current financial loss. Yeah, it's all about where you're putting your money and all these managers and. It's just a pain. It really is. But Sony will think of something and realise what's going on. And I don't know. It makes me feel bad, because I worry about certain things. I worry about Nintendo becoming like Sega. And I worry about Sony basically becoming like every other technology firm, like fucking Atari and Amstrad. Yeah, no one's giving a shit about your shit in 20 years. So basically no one cares. So basically no one's buying it. Yeah, because here we go. Yeah, this is something related as well. Sony signals end of PlayStation Mobile. Sony will shut down PlayStation Mobile this July. The PlayStation Mobile store will be discontinued on the 15th of July 2015, which is basically a week after my birthday. Although you'll still be able to buy PlayStation Mobile content up until the 10th of September. So basically a week after my sister's birthday. In-app purchases and the re-download of purchase content will be discontinued after the 10th of September. PlayStation Mobile Developer Portal will then shut down on the 30th of November 2015. The PlayStation Mobile for Android app will be unavailable after the 10th of September. My Samsung, I have no idea I can get this on there. It makes me. I'm gonna have a look later and see what's on here. You'll be able to continue playing previously bought PlayStation Mobile games, but you have to jump through a few hoops to do so. If you're on a Vita, you need to complete the device activation process between now and the 10th of September. Basically, tells you here to go to settings, then PlayStation Network, then system activation, then PlayStation Mobile activate, and OK. If you're using a PlayStation certified device, you can now open up the PSM app and launch any bought PlayStation M content between the 10th of April and the 10th of September to complete the process. Word of warning says here, it says ensure you have downloaded all the games that you want to keep, because after the 10th of September, you will not be able to re-download your purchased content. Devices that are not authenticated prior to the 10th of September will be unable to access previously purchased PlayStation M content after this date. We will continue to sincerely thank you, thank our dedicated PlayStation fans and the developments continue community for their participation in PlayStation M. Read a message on PlayStation.com. Yeah, the PlayStation Mobile launched in 2012 as a follow-up to PlayStation Minis, which, PlayStation Minis, no one liked PlayStation Minis. Everyone hates them. All the basic, before I started doing my show, because I've been doing this for a couple of years now, all I heard was PlayStation Minis were how shit they were and how no one gave a fuck about them. But yeah, basically was designed to deliver the kind, was deliver the kind bite-size gaming people associated with app stores. Obviously, it didn't work out, obviously. Otherwise, it wouldn't be shutting. Currently, you can access PlayStation Mobile games from any PlayStation-certified devices, like Android tablets and smartphones and Vita. PlayStation Mobile games include Lemmings, Haunt the House, Surge, Create, Super Crate Box, and Alien Breed. So basically, you know, that's PlayStation Mobile is taking a nosedive, really. It's not much of a... not really a problem, to be honest. Here we go, something else that... well, let's have a look. PlayStation Now closed beta begins this spring in the UK. A private beta for PlayStation Now begins this spring in the UK. Sony has announced PlayStation Now is Sony's game streaming service. It lets you play PlayStation 3 games on PlayStation 4 using Gaikai's cloud gaming technology. Didn't we hear about this shit like 2 years ago at E3? And they're only getting around to it now. PlayStation Plus members will be given the opportunity to be among the first to use PlayStation Now, but you have to register your interest on PlayStation.com. I will give this a go and talk about it on the show as something to do, but I trust, there's nothing I really want to play. I'm thinking now. I'm looking at this. Showed a picture of like Uncharted 2. I don't really think there's anything I want to play on from the PlayStation 3 on the PlayStation 4. I can't think of anything. I mean, trust, I'll have a look at what they've got when I get access to it. But there's nothing that's jumping to my mind that I really want to play because, you know, I don't know. Older stuff definitely. I wouldn't mind having a go at Mace Griffin Bounty Hunter and some of that sort of stuff. But yeah, it's just various games from older devices and other companies. Like, you know, I wouldn't mind playing some old Star Wars games from Nintendo and, you know, stuff like that. Yeah, the closed beta is available to users in the UK on PlayStation 4 only. Sony said it will be free of charge during the initial stage of the beta. Basically, small print says, taking part in the PlayStation Now private beta trial will initially be free of charge. However, at later stages of the trial, we will begin testing rental periods and price models, which will require payment. Yeah, and as soon as that happens, people will drop off. When PlayStation Now launches in the UK, you'll be able to stream games at a low rental cost. Initially to PlayStation 4, then to other devices, including PlayStation 3, PlayStation Vita, and Sony Bravia TVs, starting with the... Oh, God, I'm not reading all that bullshit. It's like all the KDL models, basically. You need a DualShock 4 or DualShock 3 wireless controller and a broadband internet connection. Minimum of 5 megabytes per second recommended. Here we go. There's a list of the games are coming to the closed beta. Uncharted 2, Among Thieves, which is quite fun. Last of Us. Oh, yeah, might worth a play of that. God of War Ascension. Yeah. Rayman Legends. Yeah, maybe. Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon. No. Saints Row, the full package. Played it. Just Cause 2. Give me a little bit of a, you know, good feeling for the... for when Just Cause 3 comes out, because that game looks fucking awesome. The Walking Dead, which I've played already, and Dirt 3. The only thing I could actually have fun with would be Just Cause 2 and God of War. I've never played a God of War game. It was literally... I sort of had a lull period with my PlayStation where I never played any Gods of War, but Uncharted 2 might be fun to play again, and Just Cause 2. But apart from that, there's nothing I really want to play. And just... Uncharted 3 has been delayed, but we've got, you know, Just Cause 3 coming out soon anyway, but I don't know. We'll carry on reading. Let's find something else to talk about, because that's the end of that article. Here we go. Some stuff from Microsoft, as I've done Sony and Nintendo already, and I'm coming up for a break, so I will be doing some other bits and pieces once I come back, but let's finish off the old main three platforms at the moment. Yeah, Microsoft. Any game you can come to Xbox One, despite parity clause. Microsoft Xbox One's parity clause has caused a lot of confusion, both among the developers it relates to and gamers trying to work out if a title they will be released on their console. The company originally indicated it will not publish games if they had been released first for other platforms, but since software to this stance state in hang on, I'm confusing myself now. But it has since softened its the start. Sorry, I'm totally fucking up. What the hell's wrong with me? I was talking really fine earlier. But since softened this stance to state it understood the budgetary restrictions indies can face when trying to launch on multiple consoles simultaneously. For over a year, Microsoft's stance has been that developers should just talk to its ID at Xbox team, and it would work with each game maker to formalize a deal on case-by-case basis. But then last October, Xbox boss Phil Spencer emphasized that the clause was still present to ensure that Xbox One owners felt first class. The parity clause is determined to encourage developers to launch on Xbox One at a same time on other platforms, or if they launch later on Xbox One, the version is different somehow. Oh, okay. He says, I don't, this is come from Phil Spencer. He says, I don't want somebody to come in and just think I'm going to do a special game on one platform and then I'll get an Xbox whenever I get it. I think that's right, Spencer explained last year. So what's the latest? Microsoft has just finished off a new and impressive wave of id at Xbox games at GDC 2015, where it also revealed that the program would also be coming to Xbox, to Windows 10, and in some cases offer cross-buy and cross-play support. Here in a new interview with Agostino Simonetta, okay, European boss of id at Xbox program, Eurogamer asks what the latest official line is for Microsoft and whether the company wishes hot indie No Man's Sky had fallen to Sony as a PlayStation timed exclusive. Eurogamer, is it safe to say that unless a game is entirely exclusive to another platform, developed by a Sony studio, for example, there's nothing to stop the game coming out on Xbox? Agostino says, correct, unless the title can come to Xbox because the developer has signed a publishing deal with someone else, any title can come to Xbox. That's cool. Whether a game has come out previous times before, it's just, we get this question, and the answer is pretty straightforward. We do understand that developers sometimes need to decide which platform to tackle first. Sometimes this is just because they don't want to have the resources. Sometimes because they have a specific agreement with a particular platform or publisher. What we say is to developers is, come and talk to us, then we can figure out what's the best approach for making a title that's the biggest success it can be on our platform. The message is, talk to us, we work together. There's no specific limitations on titles that have been launched on other platforms coming to Xbox One. That's pretty cool. I mean, there's a whole bunch of other stuff that's going to get to on this, but there's just so much bullshitty talk I don't really want to talk about. But, yeah, so basically any game that's been on previous consoles can come to the Xbox One, to Xbox, which is nice, to be honest. It shouldn't limit its stuff. And this whole indie stuff, it's a bit, I don't know, it's just a bit weird to talk about, really. Phil Spencer's new vision for Xbox One. God, this is a big fucking article. There's so much shit in here. Let's skip that one, because literally, I'm running out of time, and I have no... I don't want to get long-winded into this bullshit. Here we go, yeah. So nice and simple before I go to break. Social matchmaking service Overdog launches for Xbox One. Overdog is a new third-party matchmaking service for the Xbox One that incorporates Facebook-style profile information to help you find multiplayer buddies that share your interests. Sign up for a free service as you can fill in details on your favorite movies, TV shows, sports teams, and music. You can then search for people who want to play same games as you to finish a raid in Destiny, for example, and receive matches that also have share their similar hobbies. The idea behind the service is to take away some of the randomness of partying up with other people and find folk who aren't a 17-year-old Justin Bieber loving troll from Texas. Yeah, probably find that person, bury him in the desert. Instead of gaming with anonymous people in your favourite games, Assassin's Creed, Call of Duty, Madden, to name a few, wouldn't you rather game with people who have something in common with? Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense, I guess. I mean, it's another social networking feature, and, you know, I guess that's good. I mean, I play with randoms all the time when I'm playing Final Fantasy. It's like, you know, I've joined a free company, which I barely have anything to do with. I've been to the home base once. But yeah, you know, whatever. This is stop letting the console tell you who to play with. Games with people who feel like friends. Available in closed beta for the last couple of weeks. Overdog is now free to try on for Xbox One owners. So that's good. I mean, just, I wouldn't mind seeing something like this come to the PlayStation. That'd be awesome. You know, you'd make more friends and stuff. Like, I mean, I'm always making friends. I mean, I'm super popular. no, I mean, this is nice. It's good. I mean, trust, but we have stuff like Facebook, and there's so many different Facebook groups for games. And I mean, you know, God, the amount of different Facebook groups on there on thing for games, and, you know, that people are playing. There's probably Destiny groups, and I mean, I'm in a bunch of Final Fantasy stuff, and, you know, there's other alternatives. I mean, if this gets people enjoy this, then good. But, you know, I mean, it's all social interaction. I mean, it's all social interaction is a good thing, which is people tell me and they say, get the fuck out of the house, go and do something with your life. Yeah, I mean, I don't mind a bit of social interaction. But yeah, I say, this is fun. Give it a go. If it works, then good. But if not, then tough. I think, you know, those Sony, Microsoft things, I'll save them for a later show, probably for next week, where I can get into it for a greater depth. But, I mean, I'm going to talk about this one just now, this one from Grand Theft Auto. I've got some more stuff about that anyway as well. GTA Online Heist update is 4.2 gigabytes on Xbox One. Yeah, it's basically Grand Theft Auto Online Heist. The new mode isn't due to launch officially until tomorrow. This article came out 2 days ago. But some users have posted screenshots showing that they received the update overnight. It seems the update will be smaller for last-gen machines. The patch is reported to be 1.2 gigabytes and the size of for the Xbox 360. Rockstar free add-on includes 5 online heist missions for free to play with friends. Yeah, I got this, actually, as I say about this update, I got it as well. But I don't think I've downloaded it yet anyway. I think I've got to, you know, update it myself. But yes, yeah, Rockstar's free add-on includes the 5 online heist missions for you to play with your friends, along with an armory of new weapons and armored cars, which I'll definitely love to look at when I can be asked to actually put fucking Grand Theft Auto into my PlayStation when I eventually get it. It says you'll also be able to dress up as a look part with a wardrobe full of boiler suits, balaclavas, costumes, and masks. 9 new achievements have been added, with a total of 250 extra gamer score on Xbox 360. Awards range from completing missions, beating a heist without taking damage, and spending money on the updates garage of new cars. Finally, if you really want that thing spoiled, users have managed to data mine all those files from the new heist. But yeah, there's a whole spoilers for it. There's an update to this story, I believe. Yeah, Rockstar has at last released its upcoming... This article came out as well a couple days ago. Yeah, it's just basically saying it's the same shit that I've just said. Basically for the Xbox One, the gigabyte download is 4.2, whereas for the Xbox One, it's 4.2. Xbox One, it's 4.2, whereas PlayStation 4, it's 4.75, so one massive download. I mean, I need to go through my PlayStation 4 and delete a whole bunch of stuff. There's so much data and stuff. I mean, I've got a story you're going to love once I get back from break of Star Citizen. How I think that was some of the servers, it's like the client servers, like 100 gigabytes. So much stuff to talk about. But yes, I need to take a break. And that's what I'm doing now. And I'll be back in about 15 minutes after these messages. Speak to you soon. Bye.
And Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it would be at least 2 extra numbers and 1 extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we know
sign.
For sure. Yeah. It's a sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio. All one word.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Now I'm realizing that this is all going to be on fucking podcast. Oh boy!
I told you. I was trying to warn you the whole time,
dude. I don't care. I'm voluntarily Skyping into you. Use this to make a promo. I don't care. No, dude. Like I said, my fiance doesn't listen. Dutch got drunk one night. Well, he gets drunk every night. But he got drunk one night, and I used it as a promo. Why not? Use this into a promo. I give everyone permission to turn this audio into a promo. I don't care.
He also used drunk me for a promo, too, if you remember.
Punch JJ, it. You play it every week.
I do. Folks at home, Radio Gold like this happens every Sunday and Thursday at midnight on 360 on 420, only on MoreLikeRadio.com.
The Elvis and Alfred Show. Thursdays, MoreLikeRadio.com, 5 to 7. I'm Elvis Cage.
I'm Alfred.
I'm Jameson. And on the phone...
It's Bill. I'm phoning it in.
Oh, he's phoning it in. Coming to you live from the Halfpenny Pub in Sayville.
That's right. Punk rock music.
Independent music.
And all the rest of the things that we speak about.
Crazy party stuff.
Yeah. Here on MoreLikeRadio.com.
And ElvisandAlfred.com, 24-7. Yarr!
The Elvis and Alfred Show.
Now deep beat, cause the V is so deep. An interesting show, it won't ever put you to sleep. It has all the content that you want, the best show on the planet. I ain't even gonna front. Deep beat, bringing it again and again. Don't ever miss a show and make sure that you're always tuned in. Hosted by my man Mike and Ski Ray. Keep it turned up on the mic all day. Ask me what's my favorite podcast, I say Deep Beat. Listen to the show while you're sipping on your tea. It's the hottest of the hot. You ain't gotta trust me. Tune into the show and you will definitely see. With Mike and Ski Ray, you can't go wrong. The biggest show ever, bigger than a King Kong. Listen up and don't ever, ever miss a beat. It's Deep V. Remember that the V is so deep.
What's up, everybody? Deep V Podcast.
Deep V.
Be sure to listen to us Fridays at 8 Eastern on morelikeradio.com.
Yep.
Also download us on iTunes.
Just type in Deep V.
Deep V, your favorite podcast. Favorite podcast.
If you're sick and tired of getting pro wrestling only after it's gone through the PG filter, then it's time you were introduced to Combat Zone Wrestling. Celebrating 15 years of ultra violence, Combat Zone Wrestling will give you all the high stakes, high flying, and hard hitting pro wrestling you can handle. Check out their live event schedule, get information on their next iPay-per-view, skim the roster, or shop for CZW merch right now at CZWrestling.com. That's CZWrestling.com. No dance segments, no endless talk of downloading apps, just wrestling. Combat Zone Wrestling, the ultra violent underground.
You know, the way at the start of the last episode, we went through different nationalities, you know, and now people know that we're Irish.
And now people know that we're all shite at accents as well.
But I was wondering, is it prejudice to not make fun of, like, all of the countries?
Where are you going for here?
Well, name check every country on the show, that way no one can be mad about that.
I could do Swedish.
Oh, yeah, what?
Birdie birdie.
And to the Italians?
Papa da poopy.
Papa da poopy. Okay.
To the Mexicans?
Hey, man.
Spain? Singapore?
Oh.
Amazing.
Australians?
Crocodile Dundalk. No. A big loop, are you?
No, that sounds like terrible. Limerick or something.
That's right, we never slag off the Irish, do we? Someone put a bomb in me potato. There you go. OSW review. All Irish, all racist.
More like radio, less like crap.
Oh, hello there. I didn't see you come in. This is Mitch, producer of Dutch and Royce. I just wanted to take a quick moment to remind you why we are better than you.
I took the turkey baster and put it in the glass and sucked up as much pee as I could. I took the turkey baster, after lubricating it in my asshole, and put it up as far as I could in my asshole, and I was repeatedly thrusting it in and out while jacking off and screaming out a boy's name and moaning to make it feel like it was real.
I can't believe.
I then imagined
Sean, did you write this?
I then imagined in my head him screaming, "I'm coming!" And I squeezed the turkey baster ball, shooting all my pee into my ass. I kept taking the turkey baster out and filling it with more pee and shooting it deep into my asshole, making it feel like it was a huge come.
Listen to Dutch and Royce live Tuesdays from 10 to midnight, only on morelikeradio.com.
What kind of store only has one thing on the shelf? T-Fury does. Now before you complain, listen to how it works. Each day a brand new t-shirt design becomes available for only 24 hours, then it's replaced by a new design the following day. They're all submitted by freelance artists too, so they're completely unique. They come in multiple colors and sizes, and they're all inspired by nerd and geek culture. And for only $11 per shirt, you can't go wrong. Check out today's limited edition design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs. Bookmark it and check back daily for new designs at tinyurl.com/MLRTEES.
If you weren't able to catch the last Hippo Juice show, here's what you probably missed.
I just keep thinking to myself, and it makes me giggle, that every time I hear the story, I imagine it was Ray Romano in the same situation.
Oh,
kind of does.
I barely touched her. Come on. Oh, it was my brother. Look at him. He's bigger than me. Come on. Oh, come on. Everybody loves me. I got twins. Come on. Oh, let's go. Let's go Home Depot. Come on. Fess up, Raymond. You know it was you. They got you on video.
Anybody want soup?
Ma, come on. We're talking over here.
Oh, man. I'm dying.
So if you learn anything from Hippo Juice, remember, Ray Romano allegedly punched his wife in an elevator.
Right.
We don't report the news accurately. We report half of it. Whatever. It's still news, so fuck you guys. This is more entertaining than some football player.
Listen to the Hippo Juice Show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on morelikeradio.com.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
Well, that's where they started, yeah. But a priest biting another priest ear off?
Colorado Dickhead said, did you see the dude in Texas who beat the minister to death with an electric guitar? You hear about that?
An electric? What, do they don't have? What, do they have a slide guitar down there? They don't have electric guitars down there?
It was Monsignor Hendrix who did it. Wow. I just made that up. Thanks, Colorado Dickhead.
Father Clapton. Goes ape shit.
Brother Becht.
Friar Ray Vaughan goes ape shit in church, and that is a big news.
Rabbi Little Richards.
We're going with Keith Richards.
Father Van Halen. Yeah, very nice. Yeah, Eddie Van Halo.
The Conti and Kenny Show. Monday nights, 7 to 10, on morelikeradio.com.
Listen to More Like Radio every Tuesday night for the answer to this question that's on everybody's lips.
What does the drunk say?
I'm on your... fuck. Oof.
What the drunk say?
I'm not one that judges penises. Blah, 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 blah. I can't understand what the...
What does the drunk say?
Do it in a bourbon barrel. I am all over the goddamn place, okay. Oh, let me, excuse me,
What the drunk say?
I will fucking do that. I think that's enough of the racism there. Okay.
What does the drunk say?
Alcohol by Volume, Tuesdays 6 to 8 p.m. only on morelikeradio.com.
High Society Radio is now part of morelikeradio.com.
Who's all part of the More Like Radio cavalcade of stars? Who are you joining there?
Oh, well, Hippo Juice, they're the soul behind More Right. Like Radio. And we're jumping on there. High Society Radio, that is.
What other kind of shows are over there, though?
Oh, there's plenty. There's just a roster that's ridiculous. There's 360 on 420. Mm-hmm. There's a gentleman show. There's Ain't Social Gamer Radio. There's the Red Show. There's Daytime Divas.
Okay, so you're not out there by yourself in the cold anymore.
No.
You're fucking with...
A family.
Yeah, a real family. A family of gangsters.
Take the edge off. MoreLikeRadio.com. It's like rap music you can understand.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
Yeah, we can't sell Betsy's milk to nobody. Absolutely nobody.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
You can't sell that milk.
I got pain. It's all I have. Yo, I got pain.
I almost said I got pain.
I'ma smell it.
Dude fucking takes the bread, shoves it in her ass, shits it back out, puts it in the case. That's how you wrap the bread.
You can jiggle your fist around in there without hitting the sides.
9 to 11, Saturday nights on More Like Radio.
Tonight at 10, it's a tale of lust, seduction, and murder on Sexy Betrayals. Then at 7, some like their murder with a side of sexy biscuits on Southern Fried Homicide. But now, get ready for lust, betrayal, and murder on Hot Load Case Files.
Oh, yeah, three of the best shows in a row.
Is the lube over there?
Yeah, I got lube right here.
Well, get over here, big guy.
Yeah. What the hell? Yeah, hi, we aren't getting our informative murder porn. No, none of our channels that have informative murder porn appear to be working. Yeah, the screen just says, how do you tame a horse in Minecraft? Yes, we do have children. A what? A parental lock? Stan! How do you tame a horse in Minecraft?
What?
What is Minecraft and how do you tame a horse in it?
You guys don't need to be watching that stuff.
Oh, come on! You can't block your parents from watching informative murder porn! What, you think if we watch shows about married people killing each other all the time, we're gonna go out and do it? That's stupid! I'm not gonna go out and kill your mom just because I watch Investigative Discovery, Stan. It'd be impossible to clear away all the DNA evidence anyway. Even if I hired someone else to kill her, I'd have to kill that person too, because 96% of the time, that person eventually tells the truth. I've thought this through a lot. Stan, you're a lousy kid. I wish Jaden Smith was my son.
And welcome back to part two of Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. As we're still waiting on the promo to be made, we have a new sponsor. If you go to vapormania.com and use the promo code MLR, you get 10% off any order. So basically, you know, whenever you do that, use that promo code, get 10% off all your e-cigarettes and bits and pieces and paraphernalia and... I don't know, I don't smoke, so basically this means fuck all to me, but it helps the station out, and it saves you a bit of cash, basically. So go to vapormania.com, get all your e-cigs there, and use the promo code MLR, and get 10% off your order. And as I said before the break, they were talking about the Batman stuff, and it was like, why it's an M rating, and I have this article from Eurogame, which I got about a week ago, which I was going to talk about, but yeah, I'll talk about it now. Last month the ESRB, Entertainment Software Ratings Board, raised eyebrows when it awarded an M rating to Batman Arkham Knight, the first game in the previously teen-rated series to get one. Which surprises me, because I'm 30 years old. I don't need to worry about the rating for the games that I'm playing, because I'm playing games that... I kill people on and do shit with and stuff. So basically, you know, I mean, as soon as I turned 18, half these ratings meant fuck all to me anyway. Now the ESRB has published its rating summary for Arkham Knight, describing the relevant content of the game as it sees it. This warning, there may be spoilers ahead. The summary describes a scene in which someone is tortured on an operating table. Perhaps it's particularly gruesome and mentions moments when players can shoot unarmed characters as a hostage. The latter seems a little odd, given he plays Batman, who infamously isn't in the business of shooting people. Perhaps it's those rubber bullets again, or perhaps you control another character at some point. Deadshot, maybe. There's also a few swear words in there, including the wonderful gobshite. And you can't write gobshite, really? Here's the full summary. This is an action-adventure game in which players primarily assume the role of Batman as he battles several villains spreading chaos across Gotham City. Players traverse a variety of locations around Gotham while battling thugs, examining crime scenes, and occasionally rescuing hostages. Players can engage in melee-style combat using punches, kicks, and gadgets, e.g. batarangs and explosives. Well, no shit. Enemies cry out in pain when struck, and some takedowns are highlighted by brief slow motion effects and loud impact noise sounds. basically like the previous ones. Basically seems okay so far. I'll carry on reading. Some sequences allow players to use tank-like vehicles, the new Batmobile, with machine gun turrets and rockets to shoot enemies. A vehicle's wheels are also used to torture an enemy in one sequence. Probably there. Cutscenes depict characters getting shot on and off screen while restrained or unarmed. Large bloodstained pools of blood appear in crime scenes and in the aftermath of violent acts. One room depicts a person torturing another on a bloody operating table. During the course of the game, players can shoot unarmed characters and a hostage. Neon signs in a red light district read "Live Nude Girls" and "Triple X." Yeah, it's whatever. It's the red light district. They have that sort of thing there, I've been told. Arkham Knight doesn't sound any more problematic than previous Arkham games, which sat on a borderline between teen and mature. But the ratings won't come as a surprise to Rocksteady, which has been warned by publisher Warner that a couple of scenes in the game would likely affect its rating. Rocksteady stuck to its guns and refused to change them. We never wrote it or made it a rating with a rating in mind. Game director Sefton Hill recently told IGN, "We never did that in the previous two games." It's good. It's Batman. This shit happens. He beats people. He watches parents get killed right in front. You know, you want to know Stormy Batman. As at the end of the trilogy, we have every villain in Gotham working together to destroy Batman. It's unavoidable that some bad stuff is going to happen. Yes, no shit. But that doesn't mean we change our approach. We're not including gratuitous. If I can say it without slurring, gratuitous blood or swearing. We want to deliver a true end. With no compromises, as it takes us to some dark places. Yeah, it's the final one in the trilogy. You don't really want to sort of mess around with stuff like this. You want to make it as good as you possibly can be. You don't want to, basically, you don't want to pull your punches. You want to make the game as best as it can be and as best as it is. And they're right. Stick to your guns. Do make the game that you want to make. Fuck Warner. I mean, they gave us fucking Dark Knight Rises, fucking assholes. But yeah, I mean, this Batman game is going to be pretty awesome, and it's literally only a few months away, and I can't wait. Where's that one I was talking about with the 100 thing for Star Citizen? One second. There's loads of stuff I want to read, actually. Make sure I get this down properly. Oh, what the fuck is it? I know I had it here. Oh, here we go. Yes, got it. Star Citizen's client expected to be around 100 gigabytes. Star Citizen, the colossal crowdfunding space trading and combat game by Wing Commander creator Chris Roberts, could be a 100 gigabyte download just for the clients. Developer Robert Space Industries has revealed the size and number of assets that are left to deliver means that our client size is much more likely to be 100 gigabytes, said director of the game's operators Jeremy Masker on the developer's official forum. Patches will be pretty huge too. We are optimizing the game's patching for speed and to only develop diffs, this is unlikely to reduce actual patch size. Masker added, again, each patch has hundreds of assets. Each of these assets are at times 20 megabytes. This leads to 2 to 6 gigabyte patches. And if we end up doing a file type refactor and have to download... have to re-download 30 to 40% of the assets on the hard drive, then watch the patch be 14 to 20 gigabytes. This is a pretty hefty system requirement for the Star Citizen, but then again, it's the most crowdfunded project of all time by some margin. No shit, this game looks amazing. I mean, it set the Guinness World Record for that on the 4th of March of last year when it raised, numbers and shit, which is basically it's just under £23 million. It's about $39 million, and it's currently at $74 million. Wow, I mean, just look at this game. It looks amazing. I mean, I'm looking at a screenshot now. It's probably one of the most beautiful games I have ever seen, and that's saying something because I played a lot of games. But yeah, I say this. You've come to expect it. I mean, I've never really thought about it offhand, like, okay, how much this game's going to be to download, to play, to whatever, to, you know, to have. But, yeah, something like this, it would make sense. And if you have a machine that runs it, great. If you don't, then get a machine that runs it. It's basically because this game looks awesome. I'm so tempted to just get myself a PC and a big fucking screen TV. What if I can play it on a big screen TV? I'm just thinking out loud now. But yeah, I say this game looks amazing and it's going to be tons of fun. And I mean, I don't really watch many people play games and stuff, but I have no problem with this one. I'll literally sit down and watch people play this on YouTube on my PlayStation 4 for hours on end. Probably on my laptop, actually, because I need something to... I say, Final Fantasy 14, I am crafting like crazy, and I need stuff to do while I am doing fishing for 6 hours on end, trying to get my rank higher, and, you know. As you do. Let's find something else. There was something else I wanted to have a talk about. Here we go. Where is it? God's sake, where is the bloody thing? Loads of stuff on here about games being delayed. Oh, here we go, yes. This is something I wanted to talk about. EA to replace Tiger Woods with Rory McIlroy in its next golf game. The next Tiger Woods game won't be a Tiger Woods game instead. EA has replaced its flagship golfing series mascot with four-time major champion Rory McIlroy. I had no idea he won the major championship or four-time, I like playing the game, the golf game itself, but I don't really give a shit who's on the box. That's my main problem with this. As such, the newly dubbed EA Sports Rory McIlroy, Jesus Christ. But you want to just call PGA Tour Golf? No one gives a shit who's on the fucking cover. As long as the game's good, that's all people care about. We'll be launched this June on Xbox One and PlayStation 4. We've known for a while that EA has ended its relationship with Woods, but this is the first time we've heard about his replacement. He says, I'm very proud and humble to see my face on a name on EA Sports Rory McIlroy. Yes, basically just, you know, turned his own horn. This is a great honour. Sometimes I couldn't even dream of growing up playing a sport. I really hope people enjoy the game, and I'm very glad to be a part of it. You're just on the fucking cover, mate. McIlroy's debut as the face of EA's golfing franchise also marks a series main entry with the Frostbite engine. As such, there will be no loading times between holes, as advertised as Golf Without Limits. Yeah, crank those golf carts up to 15 miles an hour, people. This upcoming entry will contain gorgeous real-world courses and epic fantasy tracks, like one where you hit a ball over a battleship. Oh, I see. I'm getting this now. So basically, this is the PGA Tour golf game that we were shown a while ago. Because I'm wondering now. I'm literally in my head. I'm like, okay, where was the one that we were supposed to get that we were shown? But now this is the same game. They've just put Rory's name on it for some reason. You know, this is what gets me as well. It's an EA Sports game. It's a sports game from EA. No one gives a shit who's on the cover, who's on the box, or whatever. It's the same game you make year after year after year. Wouldn't it be easier if you stopped putting these assholes on the cover and keeping the money you would pay them for royalties to maybe work on development and put money elsewhere? Stop sticking it in their pocket when they have no need for it. This guy's won the fucking, some four major championships. Yay, he's probably rolling in the fucking millions. He doesn't need the money. Why don't you use the money to pay more to your staff? That way we don't get fucking shitty games year after year, but we get something decent to play. But I'm interested. This game actually looks pretty good. I'm tempted to pick it up in June. I mean, I'd need stuff to play. I mean, I don't have any sports games apart from... No, I don't have any sports games. I'm looking at what I've got, sort of trying to tilt my head and talk at the mic at the same time. But yeah, I mean, I don't really have that many games on my PlayStation 4. But I don't know. Let's find something else. Righty. Let's see. Where are we going? Let's talk about all these delayed stuff that we're getting. Okay, let's start with Mortal Kombat, because that's been delayed. Here we go. Yeah. For PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360, Mortal Kombat has been delayed. The last-gen versions of the fighting game Mortal Kombat X has been delayed. Publisher Warner Brothers said the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 versions released this summer have previously been set to come out alongside the PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One versions on April 14th. Yes, the last gen versions are being highly developed. Being developed by High Voltage Software, not principal Mortal Kombat maker. Oh, excuse me. That's better. NetherRealm. High Voltage is best known for the Wii shooter, The Conduit. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Wow, that was ages ago. But has worked on a raft of ports in recent years. Here's Warner's statement confirming the delay. No explanation was offered. Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment today confirmed that the Play Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3 versions of Mortal Kombat X will be being developed by High Voltage Software. Will release this. It's basically the same shit I just read. I don't know why they put the quote in there, but I guess it's just to fill up the thing. Because half these fucking game sites, they just fill up with stuff with quotes and shit, which they've already said anyway, but it just makes it look better. Meanwhile, Warner announced a guest character for Mortal Kombat 10, Jason Voorhees from the Friday the 13th films, so that's pretty cool. Jason is a part of the Mortal Kombat X Combat Pack, which is the game's version of a DLC season pass. So he's one of how many characters we're getting now, I'm guessing. The Combat Pack includes access to four playable characters still in development. Warner said that, of which Jason is one. The others remain unannounced, but two are classic Mortal Kombat combatants, and one is another guest character. But I mean, they've talked about getting. Here we go. I was talking about earlier about the thingy at the end of the last Mortal Kombat. But yes, this in the UK Combat Pack is included with the Mortal Kombat X Premium, or it costs $24.99 when bought separately. Really, for a season pass? Are you kidding me? This also mentioned there's also a mention that those who buy the combat pack get the samurai pack, which contains three new character skins: Ronin Kenshi, Samurai Chinook. Chinook was the one I was talking about at the end of Mortal Kombat 10. You see Quan Chi, and Jingu Katana. That sounds racist. As well as an accompanying skin pack with each playable character. That confirms that Kenshi and Chinook are playable characters, if there's any doubt. Of course not. You know, Kenshi's awesome. But yeah, I say, so Jason Voorhees, I mean, was it Freddy Krueger the last one? I was just wondering, who are we going to get as a DLC character? Two classic Mortal Kombat combatants and one another guest character, so... I mean, I'm still thinking it's going to be Ash from Evil Dead. That'd be awesome, you know. That would be cool, wouldn't it? But everyone like plays Ash from Evil Dead. He's the only one I can think. Unless it's Predator. We talked about this. I talked about this last week, didn't I? Predator. Maybe him for Mortal Kombat. Don't know. Maybe. Could be. That'd be awesome, though. All right. Let's find some else. More stuff that's been delayed. It's gonna be a fun summer because all the shit that we were forgetting for spring was getting delayed till like you know. Till summertime now. Where was that one? Here we go, yes. Project Cars, delayed again. Slightly Mad Studios, Project Car has been delayed again. It's due out for PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One in mid-May. So that's all right. That's when I come back from thingy. Publisher Bandai Namco said there was no mention of the planned Wii U version in today's announcement. They actually have a planned Wii U version. Jeez. The shifted release date is due to the team's continued dedication to polishing the game. It's not ready yet and not looking as good as they want it to, pretty much. Project Cars was delayed back in February to the 2nd of April. It was originally due out last November, but was delayed to the 20th of March. Slightly Mad Studios promised free content by way of compensation that will be available the day the game comes out. Here we go. Slightly Mad Studios in Bell on the latest delays is despite our long heritage and pedigree in making critically acclaimed racing games, Project Cars is far by the grandest and most intricately details of them all. Despite, therefore, the game being 99.9% complete, the remaining 0.1% tending to small issues and bugs has been tricky to anticipate. We're absolutely dedicated to delivering a groundbreaking experience, and by targeting mid-May, fans can be assured that's what they'll receive. Again, we want to thank our fans for their support and patience on this matter. It's a higher expectancy from racing fans around the world that Project Cars is going to be an exciting new contender in the simulation racing space, and we can finally We firmly believe games deserve it to be in the most complete and polished state when they plan to play the game on day one. And since gaming community is our primary focus and has always been at the heart of the project, during development, we would like to offer some free content, content to all players as compensation for this short delay and as an acknowledgement of how grateful we are. This gift that we're sure is going to excite fans will be available from day one and revealed shortly. Keep an eye on the website for more info. So this game looks really good. And I need a racing game. I want to get that PGA Tour golf game as my golf game. I need to get the... I was going to pick up the NHL 2015, but I haven't bothered picking it up yet, and it's literally just slipped off my radar. So maybe the one we get this year will be better than what we got last year. I actually have all the bits that, you know, we were missing from it that people moaned about. So I'll pick that up this year. And Project Cars could be my racing game that I want to play. I mean, it does look pretty good. And I do need a racing game because, you know, it's good to have a variety of genre topics and games. So, I mean, PlayStation 4. Gran Turismo doesn't interest me. I don't have an Xbox One, so I can't get Forza, even though the recent Forza wasn't as good as the previous one, I've been told. And, you know, what they did with all the DLC and all that sort of stuff. But Project Cars is something to look forward to. I mean, I've never been in a hurry for it, so it being on my radar is a surprise. I mean, it surprised me that it's coming out on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. I mean, I knew it was coming out on PC, obviously, but that's cool. That's good, you know. Let's see what else we have. God, I'm just trying to... Did you find more stuff? Here we go, Titanfall. There we go, let's pick that. Yeah, Titanfall sequel will be multi-platform, Respawn confirms. Would like to make maps free for future games. Okay. Titanfall sequel will be on multiple platforms, developer Respawn has confirmed. This is, we're working on a sequel, no official name yet, probably Titanfall 2, but we're working on that. Respawn CEO Vince Zampella told IGN, it says it'll be a multi-platform. Basically, because the game looks awesome. I didn't get to play it on my 360, and I'd say time I eventually get an Xbox One, it'll probably be out on the PlayStation 4 anyway, so I'll just pick it up on that. But this shouldn't come as a surprise, as EA suggested this may be the case as early as 2013. Zampella also noted that he'd like to make additional maps free for future products, a la Turtle Rock Strategy with Evolve, which my mate has been playing Evolve, and he says it's really good. I know JJ Stone has been playing it as well. I think that's a fantastic way to do it, he said. I think having the maps like that in packs, it does split the community and makes for harder matchmaking. It's messier, yeah. I don't know we won't do it again. I can't say that for sure, but the idea would be to do something different. When asked about a single-player campaign in the next Titanfall, Zampella seems indecisive about the matter. He says, if you hit people over the head with it, it becomes intrusive, and there are people who don't want or care about it. Where does that needle fall? I think it takes a while to figure that out, and we haven't figured it out yet. So basically, I have no interest in a single player for Titanfall. I'm more interested in just fun multiplayer fun with tons and tons of people. You know, Titanfall looks amazing. I do want to play it, and if it comes out next year or the year after, I'm going to pick it up and play it on my PlayStation, unless I have, you know, one of the other consoles and play it on that. But, you know, it's, I don't know. We'll see. But it looks fun. It does. It looks really, really fun. And multi-platform Titanfall, yeah, I mean, we never got it on originally because of limitations and money. But now, Titanfall made shit tons of money. It's good. Let's find something else. Here we go. Yeah, this is something sort of gaming related as such. Google Play adopts the PEGI ratings. The Android game store Google Play will adopt the PEGI rating system across Europe. UK IE has announced. The move comes as PEGI joins the other age rating systems across the world in a new international age rating coalition, IARC. Scroll down the page, I can get the article. The group of game rating boards has banded together to let developers and publishers gain an age rating for their games via a single questionnaire. Game creators that use the schemes can do so for free and with minimum effort. UKIE has said, we are pleased to see major mobile platforms adopting the new IARC system, making it easy and, importantly, free for businesses that publish games to get an age ratings across a number of major games markets. UKIE boss Dr. Joe Twist said, having PEGI ratings on more mobile platforms across Europe also means that we have a more consistent and clear rating process to help consumers understand which games are appropriate for all ages. Yeah, basically. Especially if you put the old, you know, free-to-play, will cost actual money right up there in front so the parents can read that their kids fucking spending thousands and thousands on these games. IARC is made up of five largest rating organizations in the world. PEGI for Europe, ESRB for North America, Clash In for Brazil, USK for Germany, and a classification board in Australia. Google Play and Firefox Marketplace are the first to sign up to the service, while Microsoft's Xbox Live, Nintendo's eShop, and Sony's PlayStation Store are set to adopt a simplified rating process in the future. There's no word on Apple signing up for its own iOS App Store up to the service, but, you know, we'll wait. We'll find out soon enough. Okie dokie. Let's find some more stuff. Yeah, let's have a go at this one. Let's have a look, see what this is. Final Fantasy 14 demo. Hang on, that's one. No, sod that. It's too big an article for this time of the for the show. Let's find something else. Just about the new Final Fantasy 14 game. Final Fantasy 15 game. Oh, this is what I want to talk about. Geometry Thor. Geometry Wars 3 Dimensions Evolved adds 40 new stages. Update due at the end of this month. The newly revised Sierra has announced that Geometry Wars 3 Dimensions Evolved, an update for Lucid Games' fast-paced neon twin-stick shooter. The update adds 40 new stages to adventure mode, new boss battles, 3D grid shapes, and gameplay types. The previous level gating system has been revised to make it easier for players to progress and unlock modes. Yeah, I'm stuck. I want to go further, but you've made it too hard for me to progress because I can't do simple shit so early on in the game. I'm like seven, eight missions in out of however many they are. Elsewhere, hardcore mode lets you play 20 dedicated levels without using a drone or there are individual leaderboards for this too. Evolved is a free download for existing Geometry Wars 3 Dimensions and will be available on the 31st of March on the PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, PC, Mac, and Linux via Steam. It launches on 1st of April on Xbox One and Xbox 360. Geometry Wars 3 Dimensions becomes Geometry Wars 3 Dimensions Evolved for new players when the update comes out and will be sold for the same price. The whole package includes over 100 levels. Geometry Wars Dimensions launched late last year and, basically just reviewing it. But yeah, I say it's a great game. I love it, but it's just too fucking hard to get further into the game because you need to have certain stars at certain levels. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that because it's basically just too fucking hard. All right, let's find some other stuff. Let's find. Oh, here we go. Yeah, there we are. BBC is making a drama about the creation of Grand Theft Auto. It's making a 90-minute live-action drama about drama about the inception of Grand Theft Auto. Games and tech journalist Guy Cocker called it a 90-minute feature-length drama focused on people behind its creation. The programme will be part of the BBC's Make It Digital initiative as an effort to generate interest in tech amongst youngsters. The UK is facing a significant skill shortage, with 1.4 million digital professionals needed over the next 5 years. The BBC noted its announcement, BBC Make It Digital will capture the spirit of the BBC Micro, which helped Britain get to grips with the first wave of computing in the 1980s. Yeah, sort of. I know, I've seen those computers. They were shit. For the digital age, it will put creative... they were still using those computers when I was in school 15 years ago. That's how fucking shit the computer stuff is over here. This is what people can question me on how good my computer skills are. I say, well, they're shit because I only did like 2 years of computers and it was just making graphs and shit. Yeah, it'll put digitally creative in the spotlight like never before and help build the nation's digital skills through an ambitious range of new programs, partnerships, and projects. No release window is listed for the GTA Origin program, but we do know it'll be on BBC Two. Yeah, so basically, it'll be the first time people actually giving a shit about what's on BBC Two. All right, let's have a look. Oh, here we go. Yes, this is something I do want to talk about. I saw this. Borderlands 2 writer regrets nearly silent protagonist. Borderlands 2 writers Anthony Birch regrets making it playable, its playable cast so quiet. The former Gearbox employee wrote a fascinating post-mortem on Borderlands 2's player character dialogue for Kotaku, where he found himself following the footsteps of Valve's Half-Life and Portal until a focus group convinced him he was wrong. Later, a much bigger audience would do the same. Yeah, I'm sure no one likes the fact that Gordon Freeman and Shell, I think that's the woman from Portal, don't talk. But I'm sure in Portal, there's no need to talk, but in Borderlands, there is. Half-Life there is, because people are talking to you and you need to talk to them. Initial Birch was a huge fan of the silent protagonist because he didn't want there to be any friction between what the player wanted and what the character wanted. Yeah, it's sort of, you know, I understand that, you know, sort of make, you know, as I say with Master Chief, you never look know what's under his helmet because he's supposed to be you, that sort of thing. In theory, because if your character never says anything like the player, so anything you, the player, disagree with, you're more immersed. Exactly. You're part of the immersion. Birch explains, you're not at risk with your protagonist saying something that you personally don't disagree with. I get a problem with that with Final Fantasy XIV. I know I'm talking about Final Fantasy XIV again, but yeah, it's like I'm watching stuff, dialogue happening on the screen. I'm like, well, my character's mouth's moving and he's not saying anything that I agree with, but, you know. However, he soon realised that this is a case-specific strategy, not a ambiguous role. He said, I latched onto the blank protagonist as a universally applicable principle, when in reality, it's like every narrative tool in existence serves a purpose. Serves a particular purpose. If your franchise is built to be more immersive and put the player in a more investigative frame of mind, like, say, the pre-Infinite Bioshock games, people who played Bioshock, you know the twist ending for Bioshock. It was better that the bloke didn't speak, because that's the whole point. He was a doll, he was something to be used by Atlas. You know, people who played the first Bioshock, you know what I'm talking about with the main character you played. You know, would you kindly? Yeah, I'll talk about. I don't want to spoil it because, you know, if you haven't played it, go and play Bioshock. It's fucking awesome. A silent protagonist can give the audience space to be a little curious, a little confused. If you want to make the world feel a bit more lonely and haunting, silent protagonist can be great. Borderlands 2, however, is nearly is neither lonely nor haunting. In fact, it's full of characters who talk endlessly and hilariously about their eccentric lives and the insane way they insane world they inhabit. A bit like me. This created a different sort of narrative friction that Birch didn't realise until he put an unfinished build before a game of focus testers, which included Kristen Kahler, who became a co-writer on Borderlands the pre-sequel. These focus testers were irritated because in a game full of colourful characters and gags and monologues, long and self-indulgent enough to give an editor an nauseam, there was a weird black hole of nothingness when our player characters were concerned, Birch lamented. Everything in the game had a backstory, even the hordes of no-name bandits. Everything was explained and joked about and explored, except for the main characters of the game. I mean, I loved about Borderlands 2 the fact that the people you played as in the first one actually had voices, because that was actually pretty cool. I mean, even though Bricks was a bit stupid, but, you know. Unfortunately, it was too late to change this in the final game. There was a localization and all, so Birch and company merely added audio diaries to help flesh out the playable cast. But he experimented with adding more dialogue to the player characters in the game's various DLC add-ons, and the reactions were generally very positive. So he generally gradually started doing this more and more. He says, I like the Gordon Freeman style of characterization too damn much, and I didn't want to let it go. But I received emails from the fans that asked us in so many words to stop taking half measures. They wanted us to stop worrying about making our avatars ciphers or heroes, whatever the fuck that means. Just let them be characters. He explained it didn't matter. Yeah, I was trying to... When I played Half-Life, I didn't really see Gordon Freeman as me, even though he looks quite like me. It's basically, it's a character. It's not... As I say, half the stuff, yes, you can put yourself into the character's role, but several games down the line, he doesn't become you, he becomes a character. Master Chief is a character. Gordon Freeman is a character. Whoever the hell you play in Borderlands, they're characters. It's the whole point. You play a character, you're playing their role, they're not playing you, basically. Actually, that extra edge made the colourful cast seem like an even better fit for the psychotic world they inhabited. Immersion can be fun for sure, but at the end of the day, though, we're not the characters we play, and we know that. But we're not. No, that's what I'm saying. We're not the characters, but we play them. They don't play us. Sometimes a writer or designer's job is to make the space between the player and protagonist as slim as possible. Other times, it's their job to acknowledge the distance, stretch it out, and have as much fun as they can. Basically. I just want to say, I love Borderlands 2. Hopefully we get a Borderlands 3, a proper 3, not pre-sequel, the tank, add-in and stuff. This pretty much wraps up the show for this evening. And say thank you all for listening. I do appreciate it. I say, don't forget as well, you can contact the show. It's Antisocial Game Radio. It's all one word on Skype. If you want to email the show, it's antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. Facebook group for the group is facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. Like us on Facebook. The Facebook page itself is facebook.com/antisocialgameradio. Follow us on Twitter at MLRGamerRadio. At More Like Radio, follow them on Twitter. So go on Facebook, search for the More Like Radio live event, which is this coming April 25th at the Preservation Hall downtown Lakeland in Florida, starting about 8:30, 9 o'clock till about midnight. It's going to be a great night, fun evening, tons of people there. I'm going to be there, a bunch of other listeners are going to be there, a bunch of other show hosts are going to be there. It's coming up really soon, it's only like 5 weeks away. It's going to be a really fun night, and basically all of you need to get yourself there. So don't forget as well, coming up right after I've finished, we have Alcohol by Volume, and then you have My Time Now with Johnny Five, and then after that you have Finish Off Night is Dutch and Royce. But yeah, don't forget as well, there's plenty of shows on the station. Keep listening, Hippo Juice, Cousin Joe, bunch of others. Go to morelikeradio.com, search them out. All the contact details are there. And don't forget as well, our new sponsor, Vapormania.com. Go to Vapormania.com for all your e-cig needs. Basically, whatever you need, they have, you can buy. And use the promo code MLR and get 10% off your order. Just trying to think now. Anything else I need to talk about? No. But say, don't forget, anything you've playing that you... Because literally, I'm not playing much at the moment because there's nothing really to play. Email me. Tell me what you're playing. I'd love to read your emails. And I do love reading the ones that I do get. And let me know what you're playing. And basically, I will see you lots again next time. Next week. So have a good week, people. And I will see you soon.
Actually brought anything to the table?
Oh my god, what a bag of burden that British piece of shit was. Holy shit.
A woman can pilot.
everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
The area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or northwest, or northeast or east. Occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain, rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor.